Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Sattertons podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
My meditations over most of the last month have been primarily in the book of Acts. And as you know, the book of Acts recounts the amazing, the miraculous, and the marvelous accounts of the early church and the works of the apostles as they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and as far as the remotest part of the earth." We see in Acts that the early church was a church that grew by thousands in one single day. And we're told that God added to that church daily. He added to their numbers daily. And you know, there's a lot of churches and a lot of ministries that long to operate in that same power that the early church did. And there have been many books written, and there have been many programs developed to attempt to duplicate the growth of that early church. And too often, those two elements, growth and power, are pursued separately in the church as opposed to collectively. And that often leads to an emphasis on the growth in numbers as opposed to working and walking in the power. And in truth, there really doesn't need to be another book written or another program developed. Because in the book of Acts, in the Gospels, and throughout the rest of the New Testament scripture, it tells us all that we need to know about both growth and power. In Matthew 16:13-19, it says, "Now when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do you say that the Son of Man is?' Or 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you yourselves say that I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I will also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven.'" So we see there that it's Jesus that's building his church. And the church that he's building is built on the revelation that he is the Christ. So we need to ask then, do we want to build our church? Sure we do. But more than that, we want to build his church. A church that's built through human programs and you know, no matter how large it grows, it can be the biggest mega church in the world. But if it's not built on the foundation, if it doesn't recognize the foundation that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Messiah, the Savior and the Redeemer, it's not a church that Jesus is building. First and foremost, the church that Jesus is building must recognize that he is the Savior. And then also, if he's the Savior, they have to recognize and acknowledge that people need a Savior. They need a Redeemer. The church that Jesus is building, it says he's going to give the keys to the kingdom of heaven and earth. We talk a lot of times about your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. He's given the keys to the church that he's building. And the gates of hell won't stand against it. Isn't that the church that we want to be part of building? Remember, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would give us power to be his witnesses. Power to testify that Jesus is the Savior and the Redeemer that people need. You know, that was Jesus' message from the beginning. And in Matthew 4:17, at the very beginning of his ministry, after he had been baptized and after he had been tempted in the wilderness, In Matthew 4:17, Jesus said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you know, that was the message that Peter shared, that's shared in the book of Acts, the day that 3,000 people were added to the church. In Acts 2:36-41, the end of Peter's first sermon on the day of Pentecost, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said, Peter and the rest of, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what are we to do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself.' And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept urging them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were 3,000 souls added to the church." You know, Peter didn't recognize, or didn't rather encourage them to come and join the church for the blessings that they would get. He exhorted and challenged them to repent and to be saved from the perverse generation. We need to recognize that we now live in a time when we're seeing at least a second generation of primarily unchurched people. I don't know about you, but for myself, many of the people, most of the people that I interact with at work and on a daily basis don't know very much about the Bible. They don't know the gospel. And sadly, the little bit that they know about, they believe even less. All that many people really know about the Bible anymore is what they know not from reading it, but what they know from watching a movie or a program about it. For many, the accounts of God and of Christ are no more real than the movies that they watch. They're on par with Disney or Marvel movies. And we can't trust the same people and organizations that are promoting immorality to also give an accurate portrayal of the Bible. We can't continue to let this perverse generation dictate the morality of our society. In Psalm 145:4, the psalmist says, "One generation will praise your works to another and will declare your mighty acts." In Deuteronomy 11:18-28, God spoke to his people, "You shall therefore take these words of mine to your heart and to your soul, and you shall tie them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. And you shall also teach them to your sons, speaking to them while you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your sons may be increased in on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them. As long as the heavens are above the earth, for if you are careful to keep the commandment which I am commanding you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and cling to him, then the Lord will dispossess all of these nations from you, and will dispossess nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your footsteps shall be yours. Your border will be from the wilderness of Lebanon, or to Lebanon, and from the river Euphrates, as far as the western sea. No one will be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will instill the dread of you and the fear of you in all the land on which you set foot. Just as he has spoken to you, see, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I am commanding you today, by following other gods which you have not known. And surely we have to recognize that we have failed at teaching our children God's commandments and telling the next generation of God's mighty acts. Maybe not individually and personally, but as a culture and as a society, as a church of the generations, we failed to tell the next generation. And we are now reaping the fruits of that failure. We're seeing the curse of violence, lawlessness, immorality, and addiction in our cities and in our schools. You know, I read an article this week that said as many as 77% of young people today are unable, ineligible to serve in our military. And it's not that's a bad crisis for our military, but just think what that means for this generation and for future generations. If 77% of young people are not able to serve, they're not physically or mentally fit enough. The church needs to return to preaching and teaching the Word of God. We need to be His witnesses. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit was given to us for. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness." We need to teach all Scripture, not just the verses that people like, not just what's desirable. You know, I often say that we're to be part of those who answer the prayer that Jesus taught us, not just pray it, to answer the prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In Luke 17, 21, Jesus says, "Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." We are vessels of that kingdom of God. He gave us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. As God's vessels, we are supposed to be the ones who bring the kingdom into the situations and circumstances of earth. We're supposed to be the ones who evoke that change. But if we're not willing to stand for and with the things of the kingdom, if we'll not stand for good versus evil, if we'll not stand for light over darkness and truth over lies, how can we expect that it'll be on earth as it is in heaven? None of those things, evil, darkness, or lies, will be in heaven. So we should not and cannot embrace them here. You know, it's vital that we continue to do things like the GAP ministry and the family game night and those kind of things where we reach out into the community without preaching at them or to them. But we reach out in love and compassion and fellowship. Because we need to build relationships with people so that we have an opportunity to speak the truth to them. Romans 2:4 tells us that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So we want to be people that demonstrate God's kindness while we also speak the truth of God's Word. And the truth is that many of the things that are embraced by our society and culture cannot be part of the kingdom of heaven. In Revelation 21, 5 through 8, it says, "He who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for the words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give water to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. And the one who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and sexually immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire, which is the second death." Those things can't be part of the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 5, 17 to 20, Jesus says, "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So we can't relax the commandments of God to appease or please people and expect to be considered great in the kingdom of heaven. We can't bring the kingdom of heaven to earth if we can't enter it ourselves. The lives of the lives and the deaths of the apostles tell us that life in serving Christ may not always be a life of ease, as some like to suggest it is. Of all the apostles, only John was not martyred for the faith. And he died in exile on the island of Patmos, where he received the vision of the revelation. So the real question for us isn't, would we die for the faith? Because that's a question that we would only maybe have to answer once, and the Lord would strengthen us. The question is, are we willing to live for our faith? Because that's a question we need to answer each and every day, hour by hour and moment by moment. If we want to be a church that moves in the power of the early church, then we need to be a church that is obedient to the commission of the early church. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And it's not in my notes here, but I think it's important that the Lord just impressed on me that when he says we're to make disciples of all nations, you know, we don't have to travel anywhere in the world to make a disciple of all nations, because the word nations there is the Greek word ethnos, and ethnos is where we get the English word ethnic from. So that word nations doesn't mean different countries. It means the different races and ethnicities, and we all are surrounded by people of different backgrounds every day, where we work, where we shop, where we interact with people. So we are called to make disciples of all nations. And the word disciple means disciplined one. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12 says, "Do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his rebuke, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, just as a father disciplines the son in whom he delights." So if we want to demonstrate the love of God to people, we can't be afraid to talk about God's discipline for them, because he disciplines the ones they love. He wants them to be disciples, disciplined ones. In Mark 16, 15 to 20, Jesus says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, but the one who has not believed will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, and they will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And then verses 19 to 20 that follow that confirm the method or the method that we should have, that we should operate to walk in the power of the early church. It says, "So then, when the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." I think too many people today want to chase after the signs and the miracles. They want to go see this healer. They want to go see this person that does these great things. But rather than chasing the signs, we should hear the word of God and allow the signs to follow, to confirm the word. If we will be faithful to preach the word, he will be faithful to confirm his word. So I want to close and pray. Lord, as you say in Acts 1:8, we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And we are to be your witnesses to all the ends of the earth. May, Lord, we be filled with your power every day. May we be faithful to make disciples and preach your word, and trust that you will be faithful to confirm your word with the signs that follow. May we tell this generation and every succeeding generation of your marvelous works, and may we be those who are building your church, equipped and empowered with the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Souderton, Pennsylvania.
I'm digging a well in the valley of my weeping.